Morning. Again, we're going to go to Chodesh once again. So we finished Brais Avav, which is the 48th Drachim of Kinyan Torah. So now we finish up the last several Mishnayos, or Brais, really, in the Pirkei Avos. Zion, Gedola Torah Shinosenes Chaim La'oseh Ba'olam Hazeh U'Olam Haba. The great Torah is great because it gives you life in this world and life in the world to come. Shenemar, a bunch of psukim now, the whole rest of the Mishnah, the Brisa, is a collection of psukim, which imply both success in here and success in the future. I don't look at every single pasuk, but first to explore, what do you mean that Nosenes Chaim Lo'oseh gives life to those who to fulfill it, both in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba? So we understand Olam Haba. You know, after all, we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an ultimate reward in store for everybody who observes the Torah and so on. So we understand that the Torah gives you life and Olam Haba. But what about Olam Hazeh? What about Olam Hazeh? So the truth of the matter is that what this mission, so this Bryce is telling us, is that there's a fulfillment that Torah and Torah life has in Olam Hazeh as well. Sometimes it's hard to see it, at least readily. But the fact is, you know, sometimes people, when they're busy with their lives, you know, they're pursuing this parnasa, they're busy in this activity and so on. When the activity is no longer there, the person retires and so on, all of a sudden, if a person sometimes finds himself with nothing to do or nothing to look forward to, this is something which psychologists have spoken about, where people are in old age and so on, feel that they're not productive, they're not accomplishing anymore, and sometimes out of touch with new things, you know, to today, you know, with new technology and so on and so forth. So somebody who's been experienced for a long time in a particular field may find that, you know, he's not able to keep up because of technology and advances that he's not familiar with. It's a joke, but it's true. You know, anybody, certainly my age and certainly people older than me, you know, you have a problem with your electronics or your technology. Yes, your children, your grandchildren, they can fix it in 2 seconds, right? They're used to it. It's a way of life. And so there's all kinds of things about old age and depression and a person remembering the olden times, which, you know, can lead to a person feeling bad that he's no longer wanted the same way, no longer accomplished the same way, no longer necessary. People begin to feel like a burden. You know, it's a sad or a bittersweet type of joke that you sometimes find some people retire, you know, to spend more time with their family. That's what they announce. I'm retiring or dropping out of this position to spend more time with their family. A year later, get divorced. You know, it's like it's a sad reality sometimes that when a person is not focused on any particular task or mission, so then, you know, other things come up that occupy the mind and the person is very depressed. Again, this is something which in the field of psychology and social worker people talk about. When a person has Talmud Torah, and a person has a Torah way of life, which is disciplined, which requires you to go to minyan at this time and requires you to do this at that time and so on. And you have Torah as a pursuit. So that's what it means, I think, nosenes chaim lo'oseh, even olam hazeh, even this world, not Torah, only the reward in olam haba. But in this world, it gives a person a life, has a sense of purpose to it. I'm not saying that people can't have a sense of purpose without Torah, but it's different. And here you feel that your goal or your target is something higher than simply you know, satisfying yourself, but it brings you, nonetheless, it brings you a satisfaction nonetheless. And of course, the fact of the matter is, when you study Torah, you connect, it almost makes you feel like you're immortal because you connect to the past. You know, when we learn, we say, Abaye says, Rava says, Rashi holds, Rav Tam maintains, in the present tense. Right, they're not alive anymore. Okay, so why don't we say hey, Rashi said this and the Ramban said that? The answer is because in a certain sense, since we're busy studying, they're still alive. And a person connects to that type of immortality. I've pointed out, others point out, it's not my Kiddush, okay? Especially having said yesterday, so say B'Shem Omer. So I don't know where I saw this, but many of you point out, it's obvious. You can open up a random page of Gemara, any page, and you see Mishnah, that was compiled in Eretz Yisrael. Then you have the Gemara is compiled in Bavel. And you have on the side of the page, you have Rashi, and Rashi lived in France. And the Balei Tosfos on the other side of the page, many of them lived in Germany. And you have the you know, Rabbi Eger lived in Eastern Europe, and you have some versions print Moshe Feinstein's Sahara on the bottom, other people's Sahara who lived elsewhere. You have the whole gamut, you know, a page of Gemara, average blot. You have right in front of you the entire, you know, the entire Jewish history, right? Advertised right there on the page of the Gemara, what is on a standard page in the Vilna Shas, in terms of references and so on. And that's something that speaks to something, that speaks to the immortality of Torah. It's not just Olam HaBo, it's an Olam HaZeh also. So a person feels when you're involved in Torah, you're connected to something that's well beyond you. And so therefore gives you a certain satisfaction in Olam HaZeh as well. And so we say, Rashi says, where Tom says, Rav Soloveitchik once had a beautiful, expressed this in a very beautiful fashion. It's been written up, and maybe you've seen it. If you haven't, you should get a hold of it. It describes what it's like, you know, when he comes into Shir. And this was actually said at a Pidyon HaBen of somebody that I know. My parents were actually present at that Pidyon HaBen. I was a kid, but there was a friend of theirs. Anyway, so the Rav spoke about, you know, what it was like coming into the Shir. He was already older at that time, the Rav. And he comes in, and there are young faces there, young enough to be his grandchildren. You know, and how is this older man going to connect to the young students, you know, who are full of enthusiasm for life and projecting forward? And he, I think he described himself as in the afternoon or the twilight of his career. You know, and how is this older man going to connect to these younger students, you know, who are living in some ways in a different world? And he starts the shiur, and he said, you know, then all of a sudden, while he was talking, another man walked in who was much older than he. Okay, it was his grandfather, Chaim. And then another man, also much older, Akiva Eger, walked in. And then the author of Ktos walked into the room. And then, you know, the author of the Shulchan Aruch walked in. And then the Rambam walked in. And the Ravid walked in. And he said it's like a coming together of the generations, right? These people are all in the room. They're all talking to each other. The old Rosh Yeshiva, the young Talmidim, Rav Chaim or the Ktos, or Kibeg, whoever it is, who's not there, not alive anymore, he's talking. And Rashi is talking, and Tos is talking, and even an older person walks in. There's a Tana, there's a Mora, there's a Rekiva, there's Ravan Abaya, and so on. You get the idea. I'm not giving it justice because he expressed it, the Rav, so beautifully, but you can get a hold of it. It's printed. It's printed. And I think one of the volumes of Reflections of the Rav. But the idea is that there's an ongoing Mesor, an ongoing connection that gives you a meaning, not only in Olam HaBo, but in Olam HaZeh as well. Now, one of the psukim quoted at the beginning here is Kechayim Heim Lemotz Ehem. Okay, the Torah gives life, okay, to those who find it, Lemotz Ehem. But they also have a drasha, Lemotz Ehem, to produce, to bring it out, like Hamotzi Lachmar, to bring it out. That when you bring out the words of Torah, you bring out what's in your mind, you verbalize it. Okay, that's what grants you Chayim. And of course, then it quotes the pasuk Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikim of Sonchem Ushar. The Torah is a tree of life for those who grasp it. Literally gives you life. And here, whenever I think of this pasuk, of course, we say this pasuk when we put the Sefer Torah away after leaning, and so on. So, you know, it's. I had the experience myself, so I'll use this opportunity to say it over. One time when the Rav was still alive, is in YU. So he used to, those who don't know, he used to stay in the morgue dormitory on the first floor. There's an apartment there. That's where he used to stay when he came to New York from Boston a couple nights. And my time used to come on Tuesdays and go back on Thursdays. So he was there Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And when he wasn't giving shiur, you could make an appointment to see him. There were a couple of fellows who were the Gaboyim. They sat in what's now that Sephardic based medrash in you know, in the morgue ground floor there. At that time, it was just a room. You know, I don't think there were a swarm in there too many. Minyan in there. Anyway, so his two shamas would learn there, and people would come visit the Rav all day. So I once had a shaila that I wanted to speak to the Rav about. And so I asked these fellows, you know, whom I knew, and I asked them, you know, could make an appointment. And okay, we set up an important time. So I came for the appointment, and it was my time to go in. And I walked in. And the Rav sat there. Is there any now, you know, this is he was in his mid to even the late 70s at this point. And he had all kinds of illness and back trouble and other types of trouble, Parkinson's. So, you know, he sat in a chair and he didn't have a tire jacket, just had his white shirt. And next to him was a TV cart that had a Shas and a Rambam on it. Okay. And as he was learning. And I tell you, I walked into the room, and as soon as I walked in and sat down, I was so taken aback by what a stupid thing I was doing to bother him, because he looked so frail and so weak. He was kind of like slumped over in his chair like this, you know, and he just looked like if I blew hard enough, he'd fall down, you know. And I thought to myself, what am I bothering him with this Shiloh? It was an important Shiloh. But after all, there are other important Rabbanim and Poskim why it wasn't a Shiloh that needed Dafka, the Rav's insight. It was an important Shiloh to do with Balei Tshuva. I was working the time and whatever it was. So, you know, it was an important Shiloh, but I feel like I could have asked somebody else, what am I bothering him for? You know, he looks like he's about to fall over. I don't have to bother him with my Shiloh, the other Rabbanim that I could have asked the Shiloh to. So I had prepared something in my head just to be able to be conversant and fluent in the topic in case it came up. So I kind of just, you know, I wanted to get out of there as fast as possible. And so I just kind of asked the question quickly. And, you know, he gave me an answer. He told me, okay, gave me the psalm. And I left. And, okay, that was experience. I felt very bad that I had bothered him. About an hour and a half later, it was shiur. He used to give shiur around 11:30 up in the fourth floor, in the first hall. Now that whole area is part of the PR department. At no time there were classrooms there. So that's where his room was. It was a larger room than the other shiur rooms. And so he came to shiur. And when he walked into shiur, he sat down and started to give the shiur. I was amazed that this was the same person. I absolutely couldn't believe it. Because when he was giving the shiur, he was animated. He was, I mean, old and still somewhat frail, but he was animated and he was talking and he was projecting. And, you know, I couldn't believe there was the same person I saw an hour earlier who looked like he was about to pass out. You know, and here, and then I thought of that pasuk, Eitz Chaim Hilavach, the Torah giving the shiur to teaching and so on, interacting with Talmidim. That gave him life. That really extended his life. I think, you know, it's really quite the same thing. The other pasuk, Yivir, Remecha, Yosifa, Oshnai, and Oshnos Chaim, and Aruch Yom, you know, and so on. I have a number of all these psukim which indicate that you know, the Torah gives a person life. Just to look a little bit at the next brisa, Raisa Ches, from Shimon Yehuda, Mishimon Shimon Chai, Omer, Hanoi, Vakov, Hosh, Vakov, Chokma, Zikla, Vasev, Abonim, Noel, Atzadik, Menola, Olam. Again, also, from psukim, okay. Here, the Shimon Yehuda came at the same time as, you know, the contemporary Yehuda Anasi. And he says all these things that a person has, beauty, strength, wealth, honor, wisdom, Zikna and save his old age, okay, and save his older, bottom children, this is good for a person to use it properly, okay? These are all things that we want, okay? But if they're only valuable, if they're used in the right way, okay? If they're appreciated properly and used properly, you know, So, you know, talents are valuable, but only if you use them the right way. And it quotes, again, psukim to back this up. There's a famous psukim, Atarzakinim and Ebonim, his various Bonav Osam, and so on. End of the mission, the end of the Brisa, says, Shuvanasya Omer, Elu Sheva Midu, Shemona Chomet Tzadikim, Kulam Niskam Rebbe Ebonim. They're all true about Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, all these things that had all this greatness, okay? He singled out Rabbi Yehuda Anasi as the example of all these positive traits, you know, being used for positive purposes. Some of these things have nothing to do with you. Okay, beauty, what you look like, your physical appearance, you conduct your physical appearance. Ultimately, it's what our Kodesh Baruch Hu is strength. Yes, a person can build up strength and exercise and so on and so forth. But ultimately, that's a bracha on Kodesh Baruch Hu. Osher, again, very often you work and you make a lot of money, but sometimes you come to it by yourself without, you know, you didn't do anything, but somebody left you a lot of money. And kovod, okay, honor, that depends on what other people bestow upon you. Again, you can do things to grant yourself kovod, but ultimately it's what other people bestow upon you. Chochmah, wisdom, again, you can work on it, but a lot of it's not up to you. If the Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed you with a certain type of memory or a certain type of analytic ability and so on. Zikna, old age, seva, okay, again, you know, you can take care of yourself and take care of your health, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even children, you know, you have children, but what the children would be is, to a great extent, you know, it's in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the truth of the matter is, while all these things are things which, by the way, you know, it says seven things. I was putting Zikna and Seba together, you know, because really we count them to eight. Okay, but anyway, But the point is, these are all things which are Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed with a person. Sometimes you get it without having done too much on your own. And therefore, it's all the more important that you use all these talents and all these abilities correctly and in the right way. You have to build on it. And it's really a combination effort. And I'll close for today by pointing out, that's how some explain, you know, the Pasuk says when man was created, the famous Pasuk, Na'aseh Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Na'aseh Adam. So everybody's bothered. What do you mean, Na'aseh Adam? Who is he talking to? What do you mean, let us make man, or we shall make man, in the plural. Right, what's he talking about? The Rashi said he was talking to the Malachim. Right, it's a problem, because it looks like there's a, something we can't even entertain. You know, there's a God has more aspects to him. And the Christians who believe in the Trinity want to say, oh, there you see a verse, right, that says that God is more than one side. But we don't believe that. We believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is the one and only, the singular. So what does Na'aseh mean? So Rashi said it was a humility. He's talking to Malachim. Ramban said he was talking to the earth, because man has both the physical and the spiritual. But some suggest Na'aseh Adam is let us make man. Kodesh Baruch was talking to man himself. You and I, let's do it together. I'll give you certain talents and certain abilities, but what you do with them is up to you. That's let us. What your final product is going to be is what you do with the talents and the abilities that you have. How many times we hear people, let's say in the sports world, oh, they have all the talent in the world, but they waste it. They become head cases. You know, this guy comes up, he's got all the tools, a five-tool player, right? Or he's a great, you know, he has all these natural tools. But it doesn't work out, never comes to practice, never takes it seriously, becomes involved in other things. So wasted potential, that's the worst thing. That's the worst possible thing, is wasted potential. And here, so the Bryce is telling, these are all wonderful things. Noel tzaddikim, noel olam, it's good for the tzaddikim. Use it properly. Use these talents properly. Then the person is taking what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, he maximizes his particular potential. Then it's noel olam. Otherwise, it ends up bad for him because he's depressed. He wasted all these talents, wasted all his ability. We read about it all the time. People in not only in sports and politics and other things, sometimes people seem to have it and they do one thing, and or they, you know, don't hone their abilities and end up never maximizing the potential. So that's perhaps some of the guides of this Mishnah or this Brisa. And it says at the end, these were all in this kind of a Rabbi Bibana, the family of Yehuda Nasi. Exemplified all these things in practice. Okay, we'll stop over here. Shia B'Shem at 10:30.